In today's Mishnah, so we learn the 12th and final Mishnah, the 4th Perek of Masechta Eliyot, then we'll begin the 5th Perek. So this Mishnah is taken from Masechta Olot and deals with Tumat Amet. And what that effectively means, if you remember with respect to Tumat Ohel, is that if you have a corpse and it's under a particular covering, say in a room, then everything under that same covering will become Tameh. And that would even spread between rooms if they're, you know, sharing the same roof. What we're dealing with here is a porch, but there's a crack going along the center of it, so the two coverings are considered separate from one another. The question that we deal with in this Mishnah is as follows. It's Adam Shehu Natun Tachat HaSedek. What we have is, right where the crack is, we have a person lying down on the ground. So if there was, for example, a table in between the two cracks, then that table would act as Ohel as well and can connect the two Ohelot together. So if there's tumult under one side of this porch, then things on the other side will become Tameh. The question is, how do we view this person who's lying underneath where the crack is? So Beit Shammai says, Einu Mivieta Tumah. Because a person is lying on the ground, there's no Ohel, there's no Tumah that can connect these other two Ohalot, so therefore it doesn't bring the Tumah from one side of this porch to the other. However, Beit Hillel's Umrim says, no, Beit Hillel maintain that Adam Chaluluhu. The person is hollow, got a rib cage at the top, and inside him it's not a solid mass. Therefore, the hatzad ha'elyon, and the top side of the body of the person, is a potach tefach, is a tefach above the ground, so it can consist of oil on its own, and therefore meviyat ha'tumah, and bring tumah across to the other side of the oil. And that's the final mission we learn in this parak, that we see that, once again, Beit Hillel is ruling more stringently than Beit Shammai. When we begin the 5th parak now, there's another first mission. Rabbi Yehuda says the Shishadvarim, there's an additional 6 cases, Mikule Beit Shammai Mechumra Beit Hillel, where Beit Hillel rules more stringently. And that is as follows. First is Dam Nevelot. He's referring to the blood that came from a Nevela. He is an animal that wasn't given a proper Shechita. Beit Shammai is Metaharim. Beit Shammai says, well, it's Tahor, because Dam that comes from a Nevela is not a source of Tuma. And Nevela itself would be a source of Tuma. However, Beit Hillel says, Matame, no, there can be a source of Tumah. The Gemara here explains that that's not any drop of blood. It has to be, according to Beit Hillel, at least a revit amount. Why? That is because a revit of blood, once it congeals, would be the equivalent to the size of a kazayit, and the kazayit is the smallest amount of, say, basar, of flesh, that would come from this nevela that would also be a source of Tumah. The next case is as follows, case number 2. Beitzat ha-nevela. Here we're dealing with a person who shechted a chicken, and it was an invalid shechita, so the chicken now is considered a nevela. And one is not allowed to eat this chicken. However, im yesh, the question is, you open the chicken, there are eggs inside, can you eat those eggs? So Mishnah says, im kiotzebo neker b'shuk, if we find that the egg is formed to a state that it could be sold normally in the market, so it's got a proper shell, then muteret, then it's considered distinct from this chicken, and you'd be able to be kosher, you'd be able to eat these eggs. Im lav, however, asura, if not, the shell is not hard enough yet, it would be forbidden because it's like considered part of the nevela itself, and that is kedivrei Beit Shammai, that's pinya Beit Shammai. However, Beit Hillel once again rules more stringently according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that is, he'd say osrim, that in all circumstances, the eggs of this chicken that you've, and the eggs that once you open up this nevela chicken, inside it will always be asur. Mishnah continues, however, umodim Beit Shammai, however, agrees the beitzat treifa, that if it came a treifa, means something was wrong with it anatomically that rendered this animal not kosher, even if he gave it a proper shechita, any eggs inside, he would agree that it is asura. Why? Because it formed in this animal, and the animal itself was asur. So as it formed, it was considered asur. Then even though that at the end, when you open the chicken, it's a fully formed egg, nonetheless, since it was generated from this treifa animal, therefore one would not be able to eat it. The Mishnah continues now with a 3rd and 4th case. This is Dam Nochrit. This is the blood of from a period of a Nochrit, of a non-Jew, or a Dam Tahara Shel Metzora. So Dam Tahara refers to after birth, well, after the first week, but the following 33 days after the birth of a boy, or after the first fortnight, then after that, well, the remaining 80 days, so we're dealing with 66 days then, the blood minatora itself is dam tahara. It's not considered dam nida at all. However, he were dealing with a metzora'at, so a woman who is given birth, and she's in that time where it would be dam tahara normally, but she has tzara'at, so therefore she's tmeah. The question is, what about the dam regarding these two cases, what about the blood, the dam nida? Beit Shammai in this situation is matarin. They're completely tahara. Why? Because, first with the case of the goya, They're not matame dam nida or dam ziva. However, the chachamim made a gzeira, they're treated as zavim. The question is, what was included as part of the gzeira? So Beit Shammai says, well, the gzeira didn't apply to the dam, only roka umei ragleha, meaning the spittle and urine. Because those are things that are more frequent that people might come into contact with, and therefore that's what the gzeira applied to, but not the dam. Similarly, when it comes to dam metzora, he understands that you treat it like tumat metzora, so once again, he only says that what that is tameh is roka, the spittle, and mei ragleha. But to be clear, importantly, that just as with a normal woman, the dam of dam tohar shela, this dam tahara, is tahor for her, then it would also apply to a matzora as well, that even that blood almost becomes completely tahor for everybody, including a matzorat. However, Beit Hillel, in this case, he rules stringently against, so this is in case 4 and 5, keroka u kememeyet regleha. In other words, a chachamim will machmir not just by a goya, by her spittle and meraglay, but also for dam as well, to treat it as being a source of tumah. And similarly, when it comes to metzoraat, if this woman is a tmeah, then also even the dam tahara of hers would also be tmeah as well, also tamer. Then the fifth case, ochlim peirot shvi batova v'shalo batova kidivrei Beit Shammai. Now, during the Shemitah year, one's produce is considered hefker, meaning their property, anyone can come and take it. Beit Shammai says one can take it either with or without thanking the owner of the property. He can come in as he pleases, or he can say, can I come in? Can I thank you very much for taking your fruit from your land? I'd like to return the favor, etc. However, Beit Hillel says, Ein ochlim ela batova. So two versions of this mission. The first version is the Beit Hillel says, no, you must come and show gratitude to the owner of the field. Why? Because he's concerned that if people get in the practice of the Shemitah of just waltzing into someone's field, walking in and taking as he likes without even interacting with the owner, then he might end up doing so even in the rest of the Shemitah years, having gotten accustomed to acting that way if we let him simply go in. Another understanding is actually the opposite. It says, Einoch limbatova. There's a different version of the Mishnah that says, no, he cannot show favor whatsoever. Why? Because a produce has to be considered hefker, and once it's hefker, by showing favor means it's almost treating as if it still belongs to the owner. The sixth case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where once again Beit Hillel is more stringent than Beit Shammai, is as follows. Hachemet. This refers to like a water bag that's made of leather, and it has a hole in it. So once it has a hole in it, it can't contain any water, it's tahor. The question is, how do I make it mekabel tumah again? When is it considered a kli? So Beit Shammai says, tsurura v'omedet. He says that it doesn't mekabel tumah, I mean it doesn't once again become a kli, until it's tied in such a way, the knot, or the way it's being tied around where the hole is. You can imagine you pinch the leather and tie it so tight, that even if you undo the knot, the hole would still stay closed, because it's been with such force, it's sort of being crimped together. However, Beit Hillel says, no, afal pi she'ein tsurura. I mean, he doesn't have to be tied that tight to once again be susceptible to tumah, but even if the hole is staying closed because we've pinched the leather and it's only being held together due to the knot, that would be tied together enough in order to now become susceptible to tumah. So in this case, even though it appears the requirement is lower, that is him actually, or they, sorry, ruling more stringently, because it's a lower bar for this chemet, this water flask, it's a leather water bag, for it to become susceptible to tumah again. Those Mishnah today.